Rich, blessed to be part of the pastoral team here at North Central Church. My primary focus is with our encore folks, our older folks, but it's also with the issue of legacy, which begins when your kids are little. And we build and we grow that, because the things we heard from our dads today don't just happen all of a sudden. They happen over time as we continue to walk closely with the Lord and as we continue to show Him His love. And I would just like to again echo that happy Father's Day to all of our dads, all of our grandpas that are here, all of those of you who step into the kind of surrogate role in some cases for people that have lost dads, and you step up and you do that great job. And as Megan said, it was on my heart all week, those that didn't have dads who were great dads. And sometimes it's hard for you to picture a heavenly father when your own dad just wasn't there for you. So we're praying for all of you. We're so thankful that you're here. I'd like to thank our panel who did a superb job, capital S, capital U. Those of you that know me, there's a lot of issues, stuff, and things I'm going to share. But, you know, when I think about my hope for today, it's largely that you'll be reminded once again how God pursues us with His great love and then calls us to pursue Him. And then as we pursue Him, we look to pursue others for His glory and His honor, which you'll get into more as we continue on today. Study in 2017 at Pew Research Center said that people, when asked about a sense of meaning, 69% of the 5,000 people surveyed said family, 34% said career, 23% said money, and 20% said spirituality and faith, which as a believer is a very disappointing number, obviously. We can see why we have some of the challenges and struggles we do, but even within that number, many of them who said spirituality and faith weren't saying born-again believers accepting Jesus, biblical faith, gospel-centered. They were just saying some kind of spirituality. So that number in reality is much lower. As a little guy, back in the 50s, I had my Cadillac. It was probably the nicest car I ever owned. And when I was just before I was 4 years old, I had gone back into our house right over in North Syracuse to get some toys and some things to bring out. And my dad had said he was leaving to go to my aunt and uncle's, who lived over by Nate Perry School, about 7-8 blocks away. My mom had been out there, but when I came out, my dad's car was pulling out, and I saw no one. There was no parent. There was no little brother. Everybody was gone. And all I saw was my dad's car turning around the corner, heading towards my aunt and uncle's. So what did I do as an almost 4-year-old? I jumped into my Cadillac, and I said, I'm going to follow them. And I start pedaling my Cadillac, trying to find my dad. Fortunately, I was just going around one of the corners onto a little bit busier street, and one of our neighbors saw us and then saw my mom come out of a neighbor's house. She'd just gone in to get some sugar or some coffee or something. And she yells, Betty, I just saw Richard go around the corner in his Cadillac. No cell phones. So mom calls my aunt and uncle. My dad gets there. Dad turns around, comes back, rescues his son about 4 blocks from home, and before I got over to that much busier street, there could have been, not only was I dead wrong in following them, I could have been literally dead wrong. And I thought about how many of us chase after and pursue things that really don't bring life. We pursue a lot of things that we think, well, that would be good, let's go after that. And there's so many things in life that are good, but often we miss the best. We miss the best. C.S. Lewis, who I love to read in all of his materials over the years, but he argues that man is born with desires that no earthly pleasure can satisfy, and rightly concludes that if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. The main idea for today, we're pursued by God so that we can love and serve the Lord and love others in that process, that we care for others as we grow. This book by Scotty Smith is on our resource page. It's a tremendous resource in terms of prayer. I've bought about 10 copies in the last month and a half and given them to friends and people. Just has great time to spend time in prayer. My wife and I both have it. We're both highlighting, we're writing, we're putting our notes. Scotty Smith says, in one of his prayers, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see, from Mark 10:51. And then Scotty writes this, Lord Jesus, you're not a gentle, genie in a lamp, God, granting us 3 wishes. You're our Savior in this moment, giving us more than we deserve, working in all things for our good, knowing our needs before we even ask. What do we want you to do for us, Jesus? Like the blind man said, Lord, we too want to see, starting with yourself, Lord. We want to see you more clearly. We want to see much more of you. Capture our heart's gaze so we'll see everything from your perspective, Lord. We want to see history as the storyboard for the coming of your kingdom, not as a drama quest for a bigger comfort zone for ourselves and people who get us. We want to see our pains, our heartaches, and our challenges not merely as something to get over, but as providences to grow through. We want to see time as a gift to be stewarded, not a luxury to be squandered, and money as a currency of grace, not as the basis of our security. We want to see ourselves as belonging to you, Lord, hidden in you, delighted in by you, and being kept for you, Lord. Jesus, more and more, don't let us think of ourselves without immediately thinking of ourselves as your beloved. Jesus, we want to see others, all others, as you see them. That will require much grace in your Spirit's power. We pray in your tender and triumphant name. How many of you would admit that sometimes you need more grace to love others? How many of you admit there's sometimes people in your life who can be pretty thorny and pretty difficult and pretty challenging? We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. One of our scriptures for today is from Ezekiel, and Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. We're going to read together. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for a scattered flock. I will find my sheep and I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to their own land of Israel from among the peoples and the nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all the places where people live. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the Sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. Not only will do all that, but he will bandage the injured. He will strengthen the weak, but he will destroy those who are fat and powerful. I will feed them. Yes, I will feed them justice. The Lord is upset with his shepherds who are more concerned about their own comforts, their own needs, taking care of their own food, getting the better cloth so they can make things for themselves, and they are about taking care of the people they're called to love and take care of. So he's very unhappy with them. Another scripture from Jeremiah that we're very familiar with. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Our search for the Lord is to be a wholehearted one. It's so easy to get distracted and caught up in other things. So, why do we often hesitate to pursue others? We're going to go through a couple of different questions as part of the message today. And the first one, why we hesitate? I think because, as I just said, we're distracted because we have so many things to pursue. The list that we looked at earlier of family and careers and money, those are all things that can be distracting. And those are, a lot of those are things we have to do. The men talked today about the challenge of time management. Those are realities for us as moms, as dads, as parents, as people in life. But we have to be careful that we don't allow those things to become the distraction. Sports. I love sports, as a lot of you know. If you ever come upstairs to my study upstairs, it's orange and blue everywhere with SU's paraphernalia all throughout the room. But, you know, how about this little device in our pocket? Technology. Can this distract anyone here today? I mean, there's stuff everywhere all the time just coming at us, information overload. Second reason we're deceived, we're following the wrong map, we're following the wrong person. Proverbs 1:7 says that fools despise wisdom and instruction. What others tell us we need to do to be wise. We may be listening to them more than listening to the Word of God. We've got podcasts. We've got politicians. We've got educators. We've got philosophers. We've got everything you can name. They've all got their ideas of what would be best. But God's Word is best, and it guides us. And when you read people who really are able to share things well, you'll notice there's such a gospel theme, even if they don't know it, in terms of true wisdom. So are you earnestly seeking God for wisdom? And third, we delay in making a decision because it will cost us something. It will cost us something. Now, what are some of the things that may cost us? Well, one we've talked about a lot already this morning from our guys, time. When you invest in other people, it takes time. When you invest in your kids, it takes time. When you take time to invest in your marriage, it's time. When you invest in a neighbor, it's time. When you get involved in ministry at church, it's time. You invest time. So sometimes people say, I just don't have time. I can't do it. So they step back. It may be it's going to cost you finances to help someone who's going through a difficult time. It may be that we're fearful of being rejected. We try and reach out to someone. We try and help someone. Maybe we try and share the gospel with someone, and we feel they don't care to listen. And instead of realizing that at that point they're just rejecting the Lord, we take it as personal rejection, and then we may walk away. It may be awkward moments. And there's obviously a long list, but the last one I'm going to mention is just messiness. How many of you realize that people are messy? They're messy. Life is messy. Things happen. Tragedies happen. I remember when I got the call and the email about Jordan hitting that tree, I was like, oh my goodness. My first thought was like, not only how horrific is that, but then it was to pray. But I thought, if I was Richard Michelle now getting that call about one of my daughters hitting a tree and cracking a helmet, I would be just so upset and so concerned and all of that. But all kinds of things can happen that make people messy. So investing time can be messy. Love this quote from the NIV Study Bible. Love is more than simply warm feelings. It's an attitude that reveals itself in action. How can we love others as Jesus loves us? By helping when it's not convenient. By giving when it hurts. By devoting energy to others' welfare rather than our own. By absorbing hurts from others without complaining or without fighting back. Boy, doing it takes action. So, a second question. What should we do? What should we do? Well, let's start with one of the best things you could ever do in life. We should imitate God. Listen to this scripture from Ephesians. This is just great scripture. All scripture is great, but I just thought I was reading it this week and reading it, I was like, yes, Lord, this is so good. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us. He offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. We follow a lot of examples. And again, I love the four men that were up here. I know some of them almost 40 years, and I just love those guys. I just love watching them grow as dads and grow in their faith and grow in their walk with Jesus. But you know, as much as I love them, and I learn a lot from them because they're one anothering in different ways, I just want to keep my eyes on Jesus. What else should we do? We should be more intentional about caring for others by focusing on him and others. If we're not intentional, all the other stuff will just get in the way. Things will fill in. So we need to make a decision to say, I'm going to be intentional about some of the steps I'm going to take. Don't just hope it happens. Don't just think it might happen. Just don't say a prayer and walk away from it. Continue to be intentional about caring for others by focusing on the Lord and focusing on others as he calls us to love them. Third, we should act on the instructions of our Creator as he directs us to one another. Imagine going to a doctor, getting instructions about what you need to do to get healthy. You've just had some major surgery. I see Tom Conley in the back row. Tom just had triple bypass not too long ago. Tom goes to the doctor. They tell him to do this, this, and this. And Tom goes, oh, no, I'm going to play golf tomorrow. I'm going to do what I want. You know, we were over visiting Tom, and he was early stages, and he's holding a pillow to his stomach and his chest when he coughs because it hurts like crazy after you have that kind of surgery. And I'm thinking, if he's going, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to get up and walk here, do this, do that. No, no. You listen to the instructions of someone who has wisdom. Well, if we would do that for doctors, for therapists, for so many others, for coaches, why wouldn't we listen to the instructions of the Lord, our God, who created us, who made us, for his glory and for his honor, and loves us with such amazing love. The Greek word allelon, which is pronounced allelon, means one another or each other, and it occurs 100 times in the New Testament, with approximately 59 of them telling you how to treat people or how not to treat people. The Lord gives us all kinds of instructions about one anothering and the importance of that. And we'll look at some more of those as we go forward. You've heard a few of them. Bear one another's burdens. Encourage one another. I said, come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. Right now. Oh, no, wait a minute. That was the Youngbloods, 1967. I was like, how old was I? 16 in 1967. Wow, that's a big song. But you know what? Scripture does say, obviously, to love one another. And it's the one that's mentioned the most often. That one third of the one another's deal with some type of issue of love and how we love one another. And it tells us to pray for one another, the importance of praying for one another. So as we act on what the Creator would have us to do, as we think about those one anotherings, I was thinking about my oldest granddaughter, Della, 2 years ago on Cape Cod, we're at one of these inflatable big water parks, pre-COVID, and she's climbing this inflatable wall. And as a grandpa, I'm down there taking pictures, of course, and I'm also saying, oh, Lord, keep her safe. Don't let her, you know, whatever, make sure that thing works if she falls or whatever. But I'm watching her climb, and she's so proud of what she's doing. And I'm thinking, you know, if you're climbing a wall, and I know we've got some people in this church that love to do that kind of climbing, if you're doing that, you're very focused. You know, you're looking at the next hold, the next grip. Where does your foot go? How do you not slip? I mean, you're focused. But I remember reading a cartoon years ago about someone who was climbing the ladder of success. He's climbing all the way up, and he gets up to the top of this ladder of success, and he says, wow, I climbed the ladder of success, but my ladder was against the wrong wall. You know, sometimes we're climbing things that we think are going to bring us success, and they're not really the things that really matter. They're not the things of everlasting value. And then I also, just recently, my daughter's in an inclusion class at Morgan Road, where I used to be principal for 12 years. And those of you who may not know what an inclusion class is, an inclusion class has children with special needs and children that would be considered oftentimes, you know, regular ed students that might be in another class in some cases, but they're all mixed together. And Della was playing with this young person on the playground, and it was a child that was an identified child with special needs, but, you know, wonderful child, and Della was enjoying her time with him, but she was not being, a lot of other kids weren't playing with her. She was just kind of playing with this one child alone, and she was talking to her mom about it, and they're trying to look at strategies for how they could best, you know, connect with other kids too, but still love on this child. And so they talked about things like, well, maybe could you get your other friends to come and play together, etc. And at first, some of the other kids were a little bit reluctant. But, and when Kate said, well, you know, maybe one day you play with the other kids and one day you play with your other friend. And she said, Mom, if I do that, no one will be there to play with this other child. And I thought, you know, wow, like as a grandpa, I was proud. As an educator, I was proud. But I thought, how about us as believers? Do we leave people sometimes sitting on the roadside? We leave people who most desperately need care and help, some of the ones who can be most challenging, but do we continue to think about them and to love on them? So, seeing as we have the Youngbloods, we all know the song I Can Only Imagine. I'm not going to sing that for you today. But why would our church, what would our church, our homes, our neighborhoods be like if we were to follow these gospel-centered guidelines in our lives? I can only imagine. Well, let's just look at some very briefly. Imagine if we were to consistently love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another, John 13:34. I can only imagine if we were just to serve each other. 1 Peter 4:10 says each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. It's in our service that people will see God's grace at work in us. And it's an embodiment of Christian love one to another. What if we were to encourage one another? 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. It's so easy in the world to deal with discouragement, to deal with things that knock us down. It can be relationships, it can be finances, it can be our health, it can be so many different things that can just bring us down. And sometimes, you know, it may be something that is so little, and sometimes you do something you don't think it really matters, but you never know how it matters to the other person. I shared this with some of you before, but I just think it's Father's Day, it's appropriate. I carry around in my wallet a note from my daughter, Kate, who's here today. And I'll try and be a big boy and not get too emotional. But this was done at a Father's Day party years ago at my sister-in-law's, and she just asked everybody to write something about their dad and then put it in a jar, and then everybody had to pick it out and try to guess who it was. And I don't even know if Kate remembers this, except probably I've reminded her a few times, but it's starting to fall apart. But it just says, wonderful role model in every way. Can only hope my husband can be such an amazing dad. Now, if you don't think that encourages the heck out of me as a dad, because you know what the guy said earlier? Sometimes you don't think you're getting it right. Sometimes you're not sure if you're doing what you should be doing. But when your kids encourage you, when you can affirm others, sometimes that thing you say, people come back to you and say, yeah, I remember when you said this, and you have no idea of what you said. And to them, it was the greatest blessing in all the world. So the importance of our looking to encourage one another. I can only imagine if we were to carry burdens for others. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Nobody should have to walk through all the trials, all the difficulties alone. We should be looking at ways to reach out as Jesus did, to show love, to show care, to show concern. I can only imagine if we were to pray for one another. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The heavy loads that we carry aren't just in the natural world, but they also belong in the spiritual world. They're also there. We need to pray for each other. Sometimes we're just tired, we're burdened, and sometimes the person you're praying for may be even more tired and more burdened, and they need someone to pray for them because they're just weary in the battle. We need to come alongside and pray for them. Therefore, as Christian brothers and sisters, we have a chance to encourage one another and pray for one another. So, okay, Rich, I hear what you're saying. It seems to make sense. It seems to have a lot of scripture to back it up. But what are just some practical, quick things that we might do to take forward from today so we don't just leave, hopefully, the same way that we came in? My hope is that we would think about action steps we can take. Years ago, I had the pleasure and privilege of leading 50-day spiritual adventures here at North Central for 3 or 4 years with Chapel of the Air out in Wheaton, Illinois. And one of the things they talked about on Saturday nights was warming the oven of your heart, getting ready for Sunday morning, praying the night before, you know, Lord, how can I be used tomorrow? Who could I encourage? Who could I say a word of kindness to? Who can I be praying for? Who can I be reaching out to? I encourage you to warm the oven of your heart before you walk in here on Sunday. Come ready for service. Come ready to be used of God, not just to come and be a spectator, but to say, Lord, how can I be used? A lot of people, I look around this room, I know some of you are athletes. You don't want to just sit on the sidelines. You want to get in the game. So get in the game. Look at ways to encourage and bless others. Actively seek out people to encourage. Do not just stick to the people you know. Try and get to know some other people in ways you might help. How about using that little device? I've got many of your names in there. When I'll meet people and I'll go, I'm not going to remember that name, but I'll try and just put it down quick. Philip and Kristen, when I first met you guys, it was like the Richardsons, but you know, who are they? You know, let's put down some information that might help me to remember them. You know, on and on. But you know what? Use some of the technology to help us connect with other people. Send a text. Send an email. Send someone something positive in Facebook, something that lifts up others, something that encourages others, something that doesn't cause division but brings love and healing and support. Be quicker to listen and slower to speak. Ask good questions so you get to know people and connect with them. Invite someone over to your home. Joey and I have been blessed. My wife has a wonderful gift of hospitality. We've had so many people at our homes over the last almost 38 years that I've been here at North Central. And we're blessed to do that. We've had our senior groups over. We've had pastoral groups. We're just blessed. My wife has a beautiful talent to do that. Call someone to connect. You never know what those words of kindness may mean. Over the last 15 months, I've had so many phone calls with people who are going through just difficult times and being able to pray with them on the phone as we walk. And what a blessing that is. Thank people for serving. You see the guys today that came up here? Thank them for doing that. Thank them for demonstrating and sharing. And by the way, go to people that are older than you or people that are walking alongside you and say, I'm having this problem. What might be helpful? What might be beneficial? Pray with people right at church. Don't just walk up and go, oh, I'll pray for you, Ken. Ken's having surgery on Monday. I've been praying for him since last week when he was in our Encore Bible study group. But I don't just pray for him then. It's like, Lord, how about right now so I don't forget? Let's pray for him. Flo Hunt was here for years. Flo's 96 or 97 now. God bless her. But she, when I called her a few weeks ago for her birthday, she said, Pastor Rich, you've been on my heart. I'm praying for you every day. I said, God bless you, Flo. That is so wonderful to see a senior saint still just pressing in to encourage others. Continuing the conversation groups have been a blessing to Joey and I. Over the last couple of months, we've been invited to the Rosisco's home, the Hiles home, the people that we're on those calls with each week. We've been encouraged now to be more, even a bigger part of their life, and they've been a bigger part of ours because we got involved and we chose to do that. If you don't connect with anyone, sometimes it's just it's harder because you don't make those relationships. Volunteer to become part of a ministry so that you can get into a group and connect with people. Why do we need to act? Why do we need to act? Well, others will know God because of how you love one another. John 13, 34, 35 says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's one of the reasons unity and things like that are talked about so much in the Word, too, but it's important that we love one another. We get to know one another. We encourage one another. We pray for one another. Life is tough. Life is messy. Life will have its hard times. But when we're walking together and uphold one another, it makes a huge difference. It'll help others avoid self-inflicted hurts and pains. Sometimes as we want another and we get involved and we get engaged with others, we can sense or people will come to us because they feel a relationship and they're dealing with something difficult and they need help. But if they don't have someone to go to, then they can sometimes do a lot of stuff that becomes very, very unhealthy for them. Pain of divorce, relational problems, lack of purpose, financial struggles. All these things, if we want another and help each other, we can reduce greatly some of that pain that people do, that they actually, unfortunately, make choices that put themselves in that position. There's enough pain in life without giving yourself extras by taking the gun and aiming it at yourself. It just isn't, we don't need to do that. We also need to act because we're going to help others in their walk with God. As people get encouraged, as people know they're prayed for, as people get excited, as people say, that Parisi guy is getting pretty old. He's going to turn 70 in about a week, but you know what? He still loves Jesus. He's not only an SU fan, he loves his Lord and Savior. And he wants others to love that amazing Jesus. We can be an example as God works in us and through us. Encore group, we talk all the time about finishing strong, leaving a godly legacy that impacts those within our sphere of influence. I want everyone in this room to finish strong for Jesus. I want people to look and say, you know, that person loved God. Amos and Kristen, they impacted youth. I still remember that because of what they poured into us as kids. They loved us. They cared for us. How many of you remember Suburban Park? See some hands. Some of you are old enough to remember. Well, you know, I think it closed back in 1973. I remember going there with my dad and mom when I was about 6 years old. And I wanted to go in that bumper car so bad. In the year before, I didn't quite meet the height requirement, so I had to go with my dad. This year, tall enough for the height requirement. I can do it. So I get in the bumper car, my dad's in another bumper car, and we're going around that ring at Suburban Park, and I do the first couple times around, and I'm feeling pretty good, pretty big, and pretty cool. I'm just having a great time. And all of a sudden, someone gets spun around, and then someone comes and hits me head on. You're not supposed to do that. They weren't following the rules. But they hit me head on, and all of a sudden, I'm getting hit. I'm getting smashed. And all of a sudden, I'm just in this clump of cars just going boom, boom, and I'm in this car going, oh, oh. I'm just getting beat up. My dad comes around the corner and sees this. My dad, much to the unhappiness of the runner of the ride, gets out of his car and starts walking through the cars to get to his son. And he came and he got to me. And you know, as a young kid, suddenly dad's there. Everything's different. Everything's different. Dad's there. We have an Abba, Daddy, Father, who desires that we come into his presence. We come to Jesus. We come to him with our hurts, our pains, our struggles. How many of you out there have dealt with difficult things time and time again? Some of my seniors I love to death. They're just dealing with such difficult heart things. physical things. I should say more than just heart, all kinds of physical things. Painful things, painful surgeries, painful shots. But we come alongside. The love of the Father comes alongside. I'm so thankful that our Heavenly Father pursues us like my dad pursued me that day. And not only did my dad put himself at some risk with those cars, Father God sent his Son to take all of our pain upon the cross, to take all of our sins. That's amazing love. That's amazing love. Our unique calling as a body of believers is to care for each other's souls. Our Dare to Care series has been looking at how to cultivate those meaningful relationships. We want to bring our real selves to the Lord, to each other, so the church can be strengthened and so the world can witness wisdom and love from on high as we demonstrate it. Because where else are they going to get it? They're not going to get it a lot of places they hang out and places they go or some of the people they may be around if they're not with other folks that know and love Jesus. So my prayer today is that people would just take that to heart. And as we finish this with a song today, again, just it's a beautiful song, and I know it just ministers to my heart, and I hope it ministers to yours. But go out, be loving one another, be encouraging one another, being serving one another, being serving one another, being bear one another's burdens as we pray for one another. Our lives will be different. Our church will be different. Our communities will be different. Our world will be different. We desperately need more of Him and less of us.